In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
I have always been a Republican, coming from a family of Republicans and conservatives, but my relationship with the Republican Party has not always been a smooth one. In large part, it's a matter of trust. Like any normal person, I don't trust people or organizations that say one thing and do another. In the field of trust research, that is the number one rule to create and maintain trust. If you want to be trusted, your actions need to mirror your words and vice versa. It's kind of like that saying attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, preach the gospel every day and, when necessary, use words. People should be able to know your heart by seeing the life you live by your actions. Of course, politicians and political parties are not ones usually put up on pedestals as examples of trustworthiness. But we always hope, don't we, that maybe, just maybe, this person or this time with this new leadership, it'll be different. Because when it comes down to my political party, what I want to see is people committed to winning. Don't waste my time if you don't mean it. Don't waste my time or money if you're not going to follow through and do everything possible to win. That's why I'm hoping that this time it really is different. Because this time we have got to win. Over the last 3 years, we have seen what just 3 years of Biden and the unleashed Democrats have done to this country. Not just the economy, but as Obama used to like to say, fundamentally transforming America with attacks on American society, foundations, and freedoms. Keep in mind, it's not just Biden and the Democrats and their propagandists in the media that are out there saying things. They are doing things, like changing laws and rules to force and enforce far-left ideology on American society. In that sense, you can trust them. They mean it when they say it because their actions prove it. They really do mean to transform America, and you will not recognize it once they do. I'd like to welcome Jo Ray Perkins back to the show. She's not running for office this year, but since we last talked, she was elected the Secretary of the Oregon Republican Party. Jo Ray, it is great to talk to you again.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Yeah, so it's been quite a while since you've been on iSpy, so as a reminder to our audience, you were a candidate for the U.S. Senate, which sadly you didn't win. I mean, just imagine how different the Senate and everything would be right now if Republicans had gotten just that one more person and take control of the Senate. But anyway, I do have to ask you this. How and why did you end up being the Secretary for the Republican Party here in Oregon?
That's a really good question. I ask myself that. I wanted to stay involved and see if I could make a positive difference in helping Oregon move forward from the Republican standpoint and continue that message of we can do it, stay in the fight, don't give up.
Good. So it is primary season here in Oregon and right in the thick of things with Election Day coming up on May 21st. And we want to have you on to talk about Republicans and whether or not they're going to be battle ready for November's election. And we're going to dig deeper into that question in the next few segments. But just to get started, let's sort of get an overall overview, general take on things. How do things look right now, you think, on a national level? Are Republicans on the right path to win the presidential election in 2024?
Well, yeah, obviously I can't speak for the rest of the states, but I believe that Donald Trump is going to win. He's obviously our nominee. That will be formalized at the Republican National Committee Convention in July in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where he will be overwhelmingly elected as our official nominee by the delegation. But his numbers are going up. We see that poll after poll after poll. The more indictments they bring against President Trump, the higher his numbers go, and the more money he raises. So he raised like $74 million last week or last month. I don't remember which. It was recently. It was a lot of money. so they, just keep throwing junk at him, and people keep going, this is wrong. This is a banana. You know, it's acting like a banana republic. It's really quite frustrating how they are shutting him down, gag orders, shadow banning conservative voices on all social media platforms. Well, I won't say all. Let's just say Facebook and Twitter for sure, or X. So I think we definitely are battle ready, and everybody is out there pushing and putting, getting their troops lined up and ready to go.
You know, it's been kind of funny watching his numbers go up the more they prosecute and persecute him. And it's kind of like, you know, the left is kind of famous for being so involved in Hollywood, and it's kind of like they forget basic storytelling.
Yeah.
Which is that when you attack the hero of the story, whether or not you you see him as a hero, it's certainly the protagonist in this case, that's what creates bonds with the audience, because right. They relate to that. They relate to being attacked and persecuted, and life's unfair. And so it makes Trump that much more relatable. And it's really kind of interesting when you think about it, because this is a guy who's a billionaire.
Yep.
I mean, how many billionaires do you relate to on a personal level? And yet that's exactly what the left is creating in this situation.
Well, I think that they made a huge misstep with Donald Trump. He's a billionaire, but when you talk to people, and there's been numerous interviews with the union workers in New York City, they're going, he has been down here, come down for years and years. It's how his father raised him. You go down, you talk to the workers, you stand alongside them. If you have to help them pick up something, you do it. And he's just a regular guy. He just happens to be uber wealthy. Mm. And they love him because he gets it.
Yeah.
He's a New Yorker through and through. When it comes to business, it's business. When it comes to having a good time, he knows how to laugh and have a good time from all the interviews that I've heard with people that know him on a personal level as well. And I think that's what people see. And the man has a mind like a steel trap. It is mind-boggling to me. He can stand there, and we've all seen it, at doing speeches and just start speaking off the cuff. Meanwhile, Joe Biden can't hardly say men and women without stumbling.
Yeah.
Or going up a flight of stairs.
Really? Yeah. Well, and his voice is getting weaker and weaker. So, okay, let's go and take a break. We are talking with Jo Ray Perkins. She's the secretary of the Oregon Republican Party. Coming up, we're going to dig further into the battle readiness of Republicans heading into November's election. There has been a huge change of leadership at the national level, and we'll talk about that next. We're talking today with Jo Ray Perkins. She is the secretary for the Oregon Republican Party, and we are talking about whether or not the Republicans are going to be battle ready to win in November. And if there's one thing that truly gives me some hope, it was the change in leadership at the Republican National Committee. That's the national level of the Republicans. And so what were your thoughts on that? Did Rona need to go?
Yes.
That about sums it up. There's really not much else needed to say at that, because I was not a fan of her after 2018. She should have won that race, and yet we got beaten pretty badly in their house. That launched the whole impeachment investigation and everything else, and just really sidetracked Trump. And it just seemed like she was sitting on Trump's laurels rather than building on success. And if you're not building on success, you're slipping into failure. And then that happened again in 2020 and 2022.
It did, and I say yes with the right replacement, and I believe that Michael Whatley and Lyra Trump are clearly the right replacements. As for people that don't know, there's an RNC. The RNC is chair, co-chair, so they're both co-chairs, and it has to be a male and a female. And one of the things that, I try to set aside that she's the niece of Mitt Romney. Could there be some spillover from that? Of course. I personally think she's a very nice person. She came to Oregon last year. I brought up some issues that we have here in Oregon. And that being marked that Oregon's a testing state. When I was running
very
for
much.
Office, I said, Oregon's a swing state, and they looked at me when I was doing the speech. I said, but not in the way that you think. We are the state that tests the radical ideas, because nothing ever happens in Oregon. So radical ideas are tested in Oregon first. The bills get passed. We vote for them. They go national. Let's take the red flag gun law. That became the blueprint for what is now the federal gun law.
Mm-hmm.
Abortion, on demand up until the moment of death, several other states. The first state to approve doctor-assisted suicide, Oregon. The first state to decriminalize marijuana, and now the first state to decriminalize all hardcore drugs. We are a sanctuary state. We have been since 1987. So all of this stuff, they tested here in Oregon.
Yep.
And so when they ignore us and say that we're not a swing state is ludicrous to me. I don't understand it. We now have 8 electoral votes. We did have 7. There's other states, I believe it's Arizona, that has 7 electoral votes, and they're considered a swing state. And I'm always saying, that's interesting. Why? So I'm very glad that we have the change so that our voices can be heard. And they are now doing the lawsuits that the RNC apparently could not do the lawsuits for some strange reason. I read about it several months ago, but that is gone now. But they were still dragging their feet on all this stuff. And they didn't help candidates. I got zero help as the two-time nominee. I had nothing from the RNC, not even a congratulation.
Wow.
Graham.
That's really astounding. You know, I have been saying for years that if these other states want to know what's coming, pay attention to Oregon, because
yes,
you're right. They tested here. I used to call it Oregon the petri dish of the left, and now I call it the Wuhan lab of leftist ideology, because they tested here and approve it and then release it on the rest of the states. You know, one of the things that I just absolutely love about the new leadership is that they are most definitely not passive, and they are out there aggressively fighting. I think I speak for a lot of Republicans when I say it's about flipping time. I didn't know this until researching a story earlier this week, but with this latest lawsuit in Nevada, they have now filed 85 election-related lawsuits. And to me, that sends the signal they're going to fight tooth and nail, and I love it.
Yeah, it's great. And they're raising money again, because the people will stand behind an organization when they see that organization is fighting for them in the right way. And of course, I'm saying that from the conservative viewpoint, because we know that the left way, they have their minions as well. But it's giving the voters hope again that, yes, we have a fighting chance when our national committee will stand up and say, look, enough is enough. That gives us that gives the Main Street American hope.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's like, why would I, as a Republican, fight for the Republicans if the Republicans aren't willing to fight for themselves?
Exactly.
And so when they're out there being aggressive, when they're out there challenging these things, and I know that they've got a number of programs that they're out there looking at putting together, I think that's great. And there's just not ever been any pushback until really this the new leadership took over. I don't recall the Republicans pushing back on things like election laws and some of these other issues. It just always seems like they're playing catch up rather than setting the agenda.
Exactly. And that's what's so great about this new leadership, and especially with Lara Trump having or being Donald Trump's daughter-in-law. She has, and married, of course, to Erica Trump. She has seen the fight. She has seen how strong leaders know how to run a business and fight for the best for their cause, whether they're building a hotel, a golf course, a sky rise. It doesn't matter. It's you work hard to get the best for your business, for your company.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that is great, because she has been in that for years and sees it. And of course, I know nothing about her pre being married to Eric Trump. But it's great to be able to have somebody that sees it and has lived it for years and can bring that same attitude to the RNC.
Yeah, you know, that's been a problem that I've observed within the Republican Party for, gosh, a couple decades now, is that the Republicans claim to be the party of business, but they just never seem to run their own party like a business.
Right. And people forget that it is a business. It seems really strange, but it is a business, and we're in the business of saving our republic.
Yeah. Well, and one of the big aspects of business is you've got to have performance, and they just have not been doing that. Okay, let's go and take a break. Coming up, more with Jill Ray Perkins. She is the secretary for the Oregon Republican Party, and we're talking about getting Republicans battle ready for November. Up next, we'll be talking about some boots on the ground efforts. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. We're talking today about winning. It is all about winning. Are Republicans ready to win in November, and what needs to happen to make that happen? We're talking with Jo Rae Perkins. She is a former candidate for U.S. Senate, and she is the current secretary for the Oregon Republican Party. And, you know, I'd like to start talking now about some of the boots on the ground efforts, because the RNC seems to be really focusing much more on their voter registration efforts and get out the vote efforts than they have in the past. You know, just for years, Democrats have had a better ground game than we have, and I've never quite understood why that is. But that's just the brutal truth. They have been outperforming us on the ground. So what are some of the things happening on the national level that you know of that's going to start addressing that shortfall?
Well, Mark, I really can't answer that question because I've been focused on what we're doing in Oregon. Every state has its own Republican Party, their state party. And so in coordination with the RNC, sometimes, not every time, you know, we put together plans to get the vote out. And we're doing a lot of things here in Oregon. So I think it's just, I think what's going on with President Trump is really weak, as a lot of people are waking up. We're seeing that in the demographics of people going, wow.
Yeah.
You know, we've been lied to for decades, and we're starting to see what has really been going on. It's like the clouds have been removed from their eyes.
Yeah. Well, it's been really encouraging to see some of the polling that's come out, especially even among young people that are starting to shift rather dramatically for Trump. And that's been a real surprise to me. You know, the young people tend to vote Democratic because they just simply haven't learned about life yet, I think. But even in some of the other demographics, Hispanics and Blacks, and there's been a huge shift there, too. I mean, you're talking like 20, 30 point type of swing.
Yeah.
So that's really encouraging. As far as the national level is concerned and some of their boots on the ground efforts, I know that one of the things that they're looking at, and I can't recall if it's the RNC itself is doing it or if it's just they are working with an organization like Turning Point USA where they are looking at doing some ballot harvesting issues themselves. But you don't know if the RNC itself is doing that. Are you able to? Well, let's do it this way. What is Oregon looking at doing in terms of ballot harvesting and chasing down those ballots?
So up until Ronna was no longer there, that was a topic of getting those ballots. Oregon, it is legal to ballot harvest. It is not legal in every state, but it is absolutely legal here. So I know some of the thinking is, you know, get people to vote early so that we don't have to do as much work, because it does take work. But we've got an amazing team of people at the state level. Our chair and vice chair, Justin Huang and Angela Plow, have put together an incredible group of committees with some people that just blow my socks off with what they're putting together, the training opportunities that they're offering. We just had a training with online with our with Janice Deisinger, head of Oregon's co-chair of the Oregon Election Integrity Committee, on being an observer at the elections offices. And, you know, so that people are prepared and they can go in there and they know what to look for as observers. It's those types of things that we're doing here so that they can be more engaged in getting more people engaged at the various levels. So
and that kind of training that you mentioned from like Janice, is that open to any Republican or just to PCPs?
No, any Republican.
Do you know if they're putting that on again?
I don't know. I don't know. We've got a big meeting coming up at the end of the month, and we're going to have one on ranked choice voting. So
yeah,
that's a pretty big deal, because ranked choice voting will be on the ballot.
Yeah. And ranked choice ballot is just, you know, when this came out in Alaska, I did a little bit of research on that, and I was reading through some statistical papers on ranked choice voting, and the whole idea of gaming votes goes back literally hundreds of years. One of the more famous examples was in a monastery, or it was actually a nunnery, where a monk was trying to get his favorite nun appointed, whatever head position it was. But anyway, he was able to, by using a series of ranked choice voting, he was able to get the one in that she wanted. And the researcher said, when it comes right down to it, whenever there is three or more candidates, you can always game that system.
Yeah.
And that's what ranked choice voting does. So anyway, yeah.
So, but to answer your question, if we are going to do more of that, yes, I'm reading the Election Integrity Symposium on the 21st. Hold on, I got to turn my phone down because I'm getting text messages. That election observer training is part of what they're doing.
Okay. Well, we'll get a list of some things from you, and we'll put that up on today's show page in the show notes section. And today's show is 14-19 on iSpyRadio.com. And so I know that I had mentioned that Charlie Kirk's organization, Turning Point USA, has announced that they'll be offering some trainings as part of their efforts to do ballot harvesting. He's really determined to outdo the Democrats on this. Do you know much about what they're doing at all? And is there any whispers that they're going to be bringing that here to Oregon?
I honestly have not heard.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about that because we've, like I said, we've got I'm not saying that he's not, I just don't know. We have a whole team of people that are working on this, on our Get Out the Vote campaigning.
So aside from Get Out the Vote and the, you know, being an election observer, what other type of trainings are out there for people who want to help Republicans win this year?
Well, we're going to be training heavily on ranked choice voting, what they're talking about here in Oregon, improving our election laws, cleaning up the voter rolls, which is a big deal here in
yes.
Oregon. The Secretary of State's office decided that against statute that they were not going to clean up the voter rolls. The counties are, my county does.
Well and it's not just statute. It's a federal law that you have to do that.
Yeah, yeah. We are, here's an interesting thing in Oregon, and I think this was under Shamia Fagan. I don't think it was underneath the current Secretary of State, but put out a directive that all counties are to count the votes by electronic machine.
Hmm.
Oregon statute says, and I don't have the number in front of me, but the statute says that the counties may choose if they want a counting board, which is a group of people,
mm-hmm.
or machine counting. That is a statute. Secretary of State's directive cannot override an Oregon statute.
Is ORP looking at legally challenging that?
I need to talk to our legal counsel and see, and talk to our team and see. We just had a meeting in Linn County, and our elections clerk was there, and I brought this up, and she said, I said, so it's a directive. What are you going to do? She goes, well, we're going to follow the directive. And when I told her directive cannot override a statute, I said, what are you going to do? She says, well, I'm going to do what the Secretary of State says. I'm sorry, she doesn't work for the Secretary of State.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think a lot of these elections clerks believe that they answer to the Secretary of State.
Yeah.
And they don't. Please vote for Dennis. Let them come.
Yes, exactly.
Slip that in.
Okay, it is time for a break, but don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with Joe Ray Perkins, the Secretary for the Oregon Republican Party, talking about getting Republicans ready for the fight in November. But what about roadblocks? What are some things out there that could prevent victory? We'll talk about that next. And welcome back. We're talking with Jo Ray Perkins. She is the Secretary for the Oregon Republican Party, and we've been talking about the change in leadership at the national level, as well as some of the other efforts that go that they're doing to go head-to-head with the Democrats. And I just absolutely love the aggressiveness that we're seeing right now. And so as far as some of the potential roadblocks, you know, plans are always one thing. The Army has a saying that goes something like, everybody has a plan until someone starts shooting at you. So what are some of the things that you see as some of the potential hurdles or roadblocks that could keep us from victory?
Social media.
Okay.
if I post something on my Facebook page, anything political, I'll get 2 or 3, maybe 5 comments. If I post a picture of something random, non-political, Everybody sees it. So we're squashed. It's, and I don't think X/Twitter is much better. I'm not on social media a whole lot lately, just because I have other things to do with my life. But I see it. And that is a huge roadblock. It's probably election interference. But
yes, I am actually surprised that nobody has started a lawsuit on that, because you're right. It is absolutely 100% election interference. And of course, you know, infamously, now here in Oregon, we've got our own censorship program, thanks to the Secretary of State that has launched the AI, Logically AI, that is out there censoring people, and they're trying to claim they're not censoring it, but it's right in their own documents that they are out there. That Logical AI got that contract because they've got a good deal there with Facebook to go out there and censor posts that they don't like.
And the lawsuit has been filed on that.
Yes. Yeah. I'm part of that lawsuit. Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah. So you know all about it.
Yeah. So I agree with you. Social media, that used to be a great way to get information out until they started interfering. Is that something that you could see the national level Republican Party? Because it's a national issue. It's not just Oregon.
It is a national issue. Congress takes it up, then they do nothing.
Yeah.
And it's very frustrating that, you know, how many times has Mark Zuckerberg been in front of Congress?
Yeah.
And they do nothing. But there's another challenge that we have, and I hope that your listeners will clearly understand what I'm about to say. We have accidentally painted ourselves into a corner. Is our voting system by mail secure? No, it is not. Do I suspect that votes have been truncated in Oregon? Yes, and I have proof from 2020 in my Senate race. So I know that things happen. I lost votes, and I have that data. Secretary of State's response was, well, that's the information we received from the county. So they got new information after they already had numbers. So if our votes are not being properly counted, why should I vote? And here's why people need to vote. As I mentioned earlier, the Democrats have the same data that we have. They know if somebody does not have a high propensity to vote, and they are counting on people that don't vote, that feel their vote doesn't count. They're counting on you to not vote.
Yep. They steal your ballot.
And even if they don't steal your ballot, they know how many votes they need to win.
Mm-hmm.
There are more registered Democrats than Republicans in Oregon, but there are way more registered non-affiliated voters than Democrats. So if you are a pro-America person, you're sick of this inflation, you're sick of, I mean, my gosh, look at the utility bills, the gasoline bills, everything, food bills going up. You need to vote, because it does make a difference. So we've accidentally painted ourselves into a corner. We don't want people to think their vote doesn't matter. It does matter, because if you choose to not vote, let's say we've got candidate A, candidate B, you like candidate A, you really don't want candidate B to be elected, but you're not going to vote because your vote isn't going to matter. Candidate B doesn't need an extra vote to beat candidate A now, because if they're in a tie, I mean, so your vote matters. There's been multiple races that have been won on a couple of votes.
Yeah.
We could have taken the House here in Oregon in 2022. I think it was less than 5,000 votes.
Yeah, something like that. It's either 5,000 or 8,000 votes. If we just had that many more, we would have taken the House. Your votes absolutely matter. And I understand that people get discouraged. Because as you say, they think their vote doesn't count. Well, but it's also the only system we have right now.
Right.
So wishing that things were different about voting doesn't, I mean, it's kind of like, well, somebody's breaking into my house. I could pick up the .22 here next to me, but I'd much rather have a bazooka, so I'm just not going to bother.
Yeah.
No, exactly. I'm sorry. You have to use the weapon that you have. And right now, this is the only weapon we have.
Yes. And so encourage people to vote. If they're a non-affiliated voter in the primary, their ballots are going to be pretty blank. They're going to have nonpartisan races only. Mm-hmm. The general election, it won't matter, because everybody gets the same ballot in the general election.
Right.
But so unfortunately, you can't change your party affiliation for this primary election. But please, please, please exercise your right to vote. There are other there are people in other countries that they literally died to be able to vote. And it's really sad when we just go, oh, it doesn't matter. That is the most important thing as a U.S. citizen that you can do, is to vote your values.
Well, and not just make sure that you vote, but get out there and encourage other people to vote as well.
Yes, yes.
How concerned are you about outright cheating? You had mentioned some votes that disappeared on your side of things. What other kind of outright cheating do you see that potentially may be coming?
Well, we already have this wonderful thing in Oregon. Your ballots no longer need to be into the elections office by 8 p.m. on the close of voting day, which is May 21st. It just has to be postmarked. There is a high propensity for fraud on that, because all you have to do is get a Pitney Bowes postage machine and you set the date. So if people are nefarious, and they are, they can...
Backdate it.
You get it? I would not put it past organizations to do that. So I see that as a challenge. I'm a strong believer in hand delivering, if you can, your ballot to your local county elections. I just think that that's something that, that people need to do. And I'm sorry, what was the question, Mark?
Well, actually, we're up against the clock, so let's go ahead and take a break there. Everyone stay with us. We'll be talking more with Jo Ray Perkins. She is the secretary for the Oregon Republican Party. Coming up, I want to ask her about Oregon. Will Oregon be ready? Stay with us. We'll be right back. And welcome back. We're talking with Jo Ray Perkins. She is the secretary for the Oregon Republican Party. We've been talking about getting Republicans ready for November. And Jo Ray, in that last segment, we were talking about outright cheating. And just to bring something else up here, because this is something that's really just happened in the last, I think, day or so. Tucker Carlson had an interview with Catherine Engelbrecht of True the Vote. And a lot of us have been really concerned about these 10 or 15 million illegal immigrants pouring across the border. And we've wondered if the whole point of it is actually Biden allowing them to in so that they can get a whole bunch of voters. And we were told, oh, that's not going to happen because it's illegal for them to vote. And well, except the way the federal law works is they could potentially be registered thanks to Obamacare, is that they are sent registration forms. In fact, this happened in South Carolina, where some illegals who are at least honest had gotten registration forms when they had applied for Medicaid. And their response when they sent them back said, this must be by mistake. The office there, the elections office, sent them even more registration forms. So this does, in fact, happen. But here's the kicker from that Catherine Engelbrecht interview. They have done an investigation and found out that there is a loophole in federal law where, while it is illegal for an illegal to vote, apparently if you identify as a citizen, some states may allow the vote. Because that's what the loophole says, that as long at the time of it, they won't punish them as long as they believe that they are a legal citizen. So 10 million votes, that could have a real impact on elections if it goes unchallenged.
Oh, it absolutely could. And the mere fact that they're allowed into the country, why wouldn't they think that they're here legally?
Yeah. In fact, there's been interviews with them as they're coming across the border that they believe that because they're they of course are lying, that they need amnesty, that they're fleeing their country because of political persecution or whatnot. They believe that by following that loophole of claiming amnesty, which essentially gets them in free, that makes them citizens. And they're all just eager to vote for Joe Biden. So right. I really hope that one of the things that on the national level is that the Republicans can get out there, start advertising on a lot of these Mexican music stations and whatnot, and they're still big in the Latin community. Start saying, hey, if you're not an actual legal citizen, where you've gone through the process to become a citizen, just being here is not enough to qualify you to vote, and it is a crime to do so.
Yeah, I think that is really, really needed, because it's gotten so lax that people vote. If you're a U.S. citizen, please vote. And this is an invasion of our country. Clearly it is. And we've seen the interviews along the border and in some of these camps where people are waiting to come into our country however they can, of course not legally. And when they're asked who they're going to vote for, they're all saying Biden. Mm-hmm. And there is an organization connected with the Catholic, with a Catholic organization. I don't want to say the church. And they are giving these people flyers. And they're talking about, and make sure you register to vote and vote for Joe Biden.
Hmm.
They're telling them what to do.
Well, somebody needs to sue that church organization.
That's happening. Yeah, that stuff has come out over the last few weeks. So, it's... And just so people know, there's a lot of dark money coming through. And that's what's funding all of this.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you look at all the protests there on these campuses. They all have identical... tents, not just on that campus, but all of the campuses have identical tents. So clearly this is being organized.
Yeah.
Before we switch to Oregon, because I want to get your thoughts on whether or not Oregon's going to be ready for November. One of the other roadblocks that I see is some of the internal strife that spills into the public sphere. And I look at somebody, you know, and of course, any large organization is going to have internal strife. I mean, it's people fighting with one another, jockeying for position. It's just human nature. It's just part of the course. But I look at what's happening with MTG on the national scene. She's trying to vacate Speaker Johnson. And, you know, I had really thought Mike Johnson was going to do a great job, and I've been tremendously disappointed. But, you know, I just have been disappointed by MTG wanting to vacate him for the same reasons that back in when McCarthy was there. He was voting for Ukraine. He was voting for all of this funding for other countries other than our border and on down the list. She was his biggest supporter, but for some reason, when Mike Johnson does that, suddenly she wants to vacate. And it's just, to me, it's unseemly what's happening there. So what are your thoughts on Republicans doing the infighting, and how do we get past that?
Well, I think they need to look at the bigger picture, and it is really hard, but President Trump came out yesterday with a statement. He has great admiration for Marjorie Taylor Greene. But he said very clearly, this is not the time. We have an election to win.
Mm-hmm.
Set aside the internal strife. We can deal with it in January, because then we will be electing a new speaker of the House, and it will be somebody that Donald Trump wants to be speaker. And it doesn't have to be a United States representative, which a lot of people don't realize. They think it has to be a U.S. rep. It does not.
No, it does not.
So it'll be somebody that he wants to see there. He carries a lot of weight. And it needs to be somebody who is 100% constitutionalist that will not be bought off. And the problem is they're blackmailed, and we know that they're being blackmailed.
Sure.
And their families are threatened. If you do X, this is what's going to happen to your family member. We're going to do this, or they'll get them in a compromising situation. Now with Photoshopping and AI, who knows what they would do.
Oh, absolutely. You know, It just seems to me Republicans don't know when to fight and when not to. You know, the time to fight is the primary. But then after that primary, after you've got those candidates, the whole team needs to come together. And unfortunately, we just don't do that. Okay, you know, actually, let's take a break a little bit early because we're coming up on a break anyway. When we come back, we'll be talking about whether Oregon is going to be battle ready. Stay with us. Back in our final segment now with Jill Ray Perkins. She is the secretary for the Oregon Republican Party. And so in this last segment, I'd really like to talk about Oregon. Is Oregon going to be ready? What do you think?
Absolutely. How's that for a short answer? Yes.
We have a little more time to fill up.
I've alluded to it a few times. The Oregon Republican Party, as I mentioned earlier, we have precinct committee person training. Which, by the way, if you did not file to be a PCP, all you need is 3 votes. You can file an SEL 105D, I think it is, and have it turned into the Secretary of State's, to your county elections clerk before the close of election by 8 p.m. on May 21st, and get 3 votes in your precinct, and you can be a PCP. And you'll know if there's an open seat by looking at your ballot. So, or check with your local GOP party.
26 open spots on my ballot.
How many?
26.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. We need people that want to take the time because it matters. So as I mentioned earlier, we have our election integrity symposium coming up on Friday, May 24th, and I've sent you the email so you can post that on your website. We're going to be talking about achieving secure elections, components of election integrity, what's going on in the courts, ranked choice voting, and that's a big topic, improving election laws, clean up the voter rolls, etc. So that's that training. We have a candidate workshop also during the same time if anybody is running for an office. So all the local elections happen in the November election. So if you're thinking of running for a city council, for the water board, for the cemetery board, for
dog catcher,
yeah, mayor, those types of things. We also have a training for candidates, creative messaging, how to navigate ORSTAR, that's Oregon's election campaign reporting
website,
system,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fundraising, candidate self-assessment, creating a candidate committee, enhancing your resume. And there's an advisory panel of current officials and campaign managers that are going to be there. And that costs $5, and that's just for the materials.
One of the things that I liked to hear you say is that you're going to be having some trainings on candidate messaging. I think that is so critical because it's great that you're running for office. Hats off to you for stepping up to doing that. But you've got to get that message out to the voters and be able to communicate what you want to do, why it's important to them that they need to vote for you. And so I'm really encouraged to hear that.
Yeah, it really makes a difference. And if you're running for local office, talk about local issues.
Yeah.
Not national.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And don't try to vacate the speaker as your first thing out of the gate there. That's just not going to work. So there's been an ongoing debate for years that conservatives can never win in Oregon. First of all, I don't think that you agree with that. Do Republicans need to be less conservative and more moderate to win here in Oregon? And also, how can Republicans appeal more to the average everyday Oregon voter?
So do not go more moderate. You know, when I won the 2020 election in the primary, we did it with less than $100,000. I received more votes than any other Oregon Republican U.S. Senator nominee in Oregon history. $100,000. We needed more votes. 2022, we spent about $140,000. We didn't have as many votes, but it was midterms. I stuck to my guns. I beat out a candidate that had over $200,000 in the primary, and I had $7,000. Messaging matters. Don't go to the middle. There's a high level of respect, even if people don't agree with you, when they know that you are not wishy-washy and when they know that you're going to stick to your guns and do what you say you're going to do. And then tell that by how you answer questions. So, yes, we can win. People are tired of this. We're going to give you everything. It costs something.
Yeah.
You know, the street sweeper is not free. My streets here in Albany are falling apart. I'm doing DoorDash, Grubhub, Uber. I do 5 different gig companies. I'm driving over 100 miles most days all over Albany, and our streets are falling apart. We are run by Democrats in Albany. Lynn County is conservative, but Albany's not.
Hmm.
This is a misuse of our taxpayer money, of my property taxes that are through the roof. Stick to your guns. Know what the issues are and talk to people from the heart. I know how you feel. I felt the same way too. This is, for lack of a better term, it's salesmanship 101.
Well,
people don't care what you know until they know that you care. Find out what's important to the people.
Yes.
And ask them what they would like to see.
Finding out what's important is exactly critical. And, you know, that's how Reagan ended up preparing to run for president, because he was doing these speaking tours as part of a radio gig that he had. But it gave him an opportunity to talk to people directly. And he was always asking them questions. And that, you know, if you're a candidate out there and you have a chance to speak to people, don't just speak at them, speak with them.
Yeah.
Find out what's important, because that will help impact your own messaging. As far as some statewide races here in Oregon, we got Secretary of State, the Treasurer, and the AG. What are your thoughts on those? Can a Republican actually win those statewide races this year, you think?
I absolutely believe that a candidate, a Republican, can win those elections. I've already mentioned Dennis Lithicum.
Mm-hmm.
There's 2 other candidates running for Secretary of State. I know all of them, but Dennis... Dennis is one of the smartest people that I've ever met.
Yeah.
When it comes to history, his knowledge base is tremendous. He has spent time as a state senator. I think he would be a tremendous Secretary of State, and I have no doubt that he will.
And he understands economics.
Yes.
You need somebody that has that understanding, that base of understanding, in the Secretary of State for sure.
Yep. Attorney General Will Lathrop, he's got a phenomenal resume.
Mm-hmm.
again, great experience, great life experience.
Yes.
So I really like
him. He's also a really good storyteller. If you've had a chance to listen to him, he does a great job walking through his life story and why he ended up deciding to run. Got a lot of high hope there for Will Lathrop, for sure.
Yeah, I do too. Treasurer, we have Brian Boquist. Mm-hmm. He does not have a primary opponent. And again, when you come to the table at a state position and you've been involved at the legislative level, you see the ins and outs and the workings of what's been going on, and it helps a lot.
Yep.
So fiscal conservativeness is what is needed.
Okay, so just real quick before we go, I have to ask this because I'm rather curious about it, but are you hearing anything at all about the potential impact of RFK Jr. on the presidential race here in Oregon, and in particular whether or not he might take a significant amount of votes from Joe Biden? Are you hearing anything at all about whether or not there's much support for RFK here in Oregon?
I haven't heard anything on anywhere or seen any signs for him. I haven't seen any Biden signs either, well, except for one. But that one was put uncommitted. And that was in Corvallis. I took a picture. It was awesome. RFK is one of the most far left senators in the United States. He is not what he's portraying himself to be. He would be a disaster for our country.
Oh, absolutely. I agree that he would. He says the right things about things like holding government accountable. I totally agree with him on those issues. But when it comes to climate change and the rest, he's way too left for me. Okay. Yeah. Unfortunately, we are up against the clock. Joe Ray, I want to thank you so much for your time today. This has been really interesting.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Mark.
If you want to help push the Republicans over the top, we will have some resources for you on this weekend's show page, 14-19. But you can also go right to the source. Go to oregon.gop, that's oregon.gop, and under the Get Involved tab, you'll see links to the county parties, events, and volunteer opportunities. Events are a great way to go and meet a few like-minded people, and making new friends makes it easier to get involved because they can help walk you through the process. Jumping right in can be a bit overwhelming, especially if you're not familiar with how political parties operate. It's a little different. So besides those events, another great place to start is at the county level. That county's page has links to the county websites and email addresses for the chair. Don't wait. The time to save America is right now. Because as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.